Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Higgins.
That'd be really weird.
Not Wiggins.
Higgins.
Higgins. Like the butler off of Magnum P.I.
That's out of my range.
It's okay.
I never watched Magnum P.I. other than I was told when I was a kid, people compared my dad to Tom Selleck.
I've seen some pictures of your dad.
When he had the mustache.
Comparable. It's comparable.
My dad was Magnum P.I.
There's only one huge difference. Your dad way cooler.
Yeah, way I agree. Cooler. I agree.
I mean, no, I don't think everybody's ever called Tom Selleck Big Daddy.
No.
So
he came up with his own name too. He nicknamed
again. We've had that discussion. If you can nickname yourself, if you can say I want to be known as this, and people go for it,
yeah,
that's high level.
Yeah, my dad is very good at the nicknames too.
Okay.
If you've ever kept up, you know, back in the day with Winston Academy football, and you saw the highlight films, like I've talked to people around the state, they used to trade the tapes from the football games. Like the tapes with the commentary on it would be traded to the teams.
Yeah.
So everybody started talking about who is this play-by-play guy? He's like, what is he coming up with this stuff? We got Dangerous Davy Crawley. We got Batman and Robin. He named Winston Academy the Big Red Machine.
See?
Field of Champions. Like, my dad came up with so many nicknames.
I could have used it.
It was like Vince McMahon. Like, they didn't all stick.
Yeah.
But they're still living to this day.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
I like how you changed the word.
Oh, yeah. Well, your dad wouldn't say that word.
No.
I could have used him back in the day on the B&B show when I gave Bob a new nickname every show.
Oh, yeah.
So I could have used him back then.
You know, I used to do that with Joel, too. Remember, I used to give him a wrestling nickname every single time?
Gimmick infringed me.
Steal that from you. And steal that from you.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. On Monday's podcast, we will announce a really cool giveaway we're going to do that's going to involve you and all these crazy little towns we've been talking about over the past few months. Well, I say months, almost the last year. Strange Brew Coffeehouse, we're going to have a great giveaway. We'll talk about that. We'll give you the details on Monday's podcast. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friend. I had to think about it. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. They want to remind you of that. They want to tell you that if you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So go grill up some steaks this weekend or some burgers. It's going to be great weather for cooking out. We got all day to watch football on Saturday. No Mississippi State to trouble us. Just get out
Thank
there.
God.
Just calm down.
A little bit of relief.
Calm down over there. So, and if you don't want to do that, you want to go out to eat. Man, there's so many great steakhouses around this state. You can't go wrong. And of course, you can vote for your favorite steakhouse right now at the Mississippi Beef Council Facebook page and your favorite burger joint. So we want to find out where the best places in this state are. Go vote for them now. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I had a great conversation today with my friend Scott Wern, the owner over there at College Corner. And
Big Wern?
No. No, we're not doing that. He is a big sale coming up starting on Friday. It's a sort of a pre-Black Friday sale. So I'll give you the more details soon. I was talking to him about Black Friday. I think they are going to do the beat the clock again, so I'll give you the details on that. Also, starting right after that, something he's done the last couple of years that has been a huge success is the 2-for-1 gift card. You'll be able to buy, if you want to buy a $100 gift card, you're only going to spend $50. I'll get out the details to you on that as soon as I can. But a lot of great stuff coming from College Corner in the coming weeks to save you some money this holiday season. Two locations in Jackson, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. For lunch, you just can't beat a Restaurant Tyler meal. You just can't. It's you know, great choice on the meats. Plenty of veggie options. If you want to do starch, if you want to do actual vegetables, they got it all. And then, you know, for cornbread, I don't like cornbread. That has been one of the longest running gimmicks I have on radio. I like their cornbread. It's the only cornbread I like to eat.
It's very good.
It's very good. Very good. So if you want to have a great lunch today and you're in the Starkville area, there's one place to go, and that's Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you where or how they're going to help you manage your money, help you invest, and help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's so important to be able to talk to somebody about your money. When you have questions, you need answers, you can't afford to wait around, Priority One Bank is there for you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, since last we met here, Mississippi State men and women's basketball have played a game. They will play again this weekend. Sunday, the men are in South Haven against the University of Utah. Sunday at the Hump, who are they playing?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
UT Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. But,
which going back to that bit by Dan Mullen, mm-hmm. That wasn't who he
wasn't
was.
Wasn't accurate. Yeah. Doesn't matter, though.
But it was a good bit.
It's a good bit, so you move on.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as good if he says, like, Georgia Southern.
Right.
Or something like that, you know? So it's not the same. UT Chattanooga, it is. Let's start with the ladies. Not the lady dogs, but the ladies.
Yeah. Stop calling them the lady dogs, yeah. Lady bulldogs.
Yeah, they're not.
That has not been a thing for 12 years now.
Yeah. Through three games, and that's all you've seen. Although today's game, when you tweeted out the thing about they allowed 1 point in the third quarter, that got a double take out of me. I was working and doing. And I went, you know, what is that? What do you think of this team through three games?
I think they're still gelling. I don't know if we'll know for sure, you know, what they are until probably conference play gets here. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point they're going to have to have some adversity to get over and things like that. But I think that you can take nothing but, you know, mostly positives at this point. Ja'Kayla Jordan has really struggled through three games, and you know that's not going to keep up. I mean, there's no way that she can play a full season and struggle that badly. Mm-hmm. So eventually she's going to get it together. And in the three games that you've played, you've still been pretty good. An offense scored 100 points in the first game. You scored whatever it was against Alcorn, mm-hmm. 80s.
It was in the
scored,
80s, yeah.
Scored 80s in this game. And you're doing that pretty much all without Ja'Kayla Jordan. They could have scored a lot more points, I think, in this game too. I think they could just kind of like let off the gas a little bit in the fourth quarter. But I think they play hard. I think the defense has been fairly impressive, too. Sorry, I got a little tickle in my throat.
This feels like it's a little backwards. I know. The
call. Usually, I've been at choir practice, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, defensively, I've been really impressed with, you know, what they're able to do. I think Medina Okot is a superstar in the making. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she knows how good she can be mm-hmm. at this point. And then Anaya Russell has really been kind of a revelation for them. They expected her to do some good things, but she hasn't really done what she's doing right now. Mm-hmm. She's having to be, on some nights, you know, Mississippi State's, you know, top scorer, or, you know, other nights, a compliment to Ja'Kayla Jordan. She hasn't had to be that. She's shown glimpses of it at Kentucky, but for the most part, she's kind of been a role player. You know, we talked to her the other day, and she talked about how coming here, like, it's a different role for her, but mostly because it's a different style, and she likes the style of play that they play, because Sam Purcell allows her to play free mm-hmm. and to play her game, which she hasn't been able to do. So it's kind of like she's kind of been handcuffed a little bit. So I think that she's definitely, you know, like I said, been kind of a revelation for them. So, it, you know, it's been really good. First three games, the team looks to me better than I expected. I don't know if it'll keep up, but I didn't really know what to expect from them. Mm-hmm. But I look at them and I can see a team that can be deeper, faster, a little more well-rounded than either of the first two teams that he had.
Yeah.
I think that the potential is there for that to happen.
What has surprised you early on? What have they been better at that you thought they wouldn't be?
Quality depth, for the most part. I think the offensive system just seems to have more of a flow to it, and I attribute a lot of that to Fred Castro. I think him being there has helped out their offensive system a little bit. I can see, Sam Purcell's talked about how he's concerned about their turnovers, and they've had a lot of them in practices. They had a lot of them in the closed scrimmages, and now we're seeing that in the games. They had 20 turnovers against Alcorn State. They had 17 in this one. But to me, the mark of a team that in the long term is going to be pretty good in that area is, yeah, they're turning it over, but they're also garnering a lot of assist. So they share the ball well. It's just being a little more clean with it. They haven't really been clean, crisp with their passes. But like as Sam says, like they have the ability to make that spectacular pass. Like, and you can see it, threading the needle, full court home run, bounce pass from the 3-point line. Like the ability is there. It's just about being a little more clean. And I think in time, like you usually see teams get better and better in that regard. So if they can get more clean with their passes, because they're not really turning it over, like getting their pocket picked or anything like that. It's just, throwing a pass where it shouldn't be thrown, or something like that. That's something that needs to improve. But to me, the depth, the quality of the depth, bringing players in off the bench that's going to be able to kind of keep you on track and doing the same things that you were doing with the starters, if this team has that ability. It's a very deep team. Last year's team was
– not deep.
No.
No.
I mean, you were down to, 8 or 9 players. And, injuries had something to do with that, but also he just didn't recruit enough players or didn't have enough players in place for just bodies.
Right.
This year he has that. I mean, they've played 12 players, I think, twice now. And they can go 10 deep.
I feel like the men are going to get challenged on Sunday. Is Chattanooga a team that can challenge this team? Or if not, when is the first time you're going to see them really up against an opponent that can give them some sort of challenge?
Well, Chattanooga beat them last year.
Okay.
But a little different team, I think, this year. They've lost to Tennessee Tech the other day, so I don't know. That Chattanooga team last year was like 28-5, went to the NCAA tournament. They're usually a team that competes for their championship in conference play.
Okay.
So they're a team very similar to like Belmont.
Okay.
Some of those teams
that's who they play in Tupelo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. They kind of have the same type program. Belmont, Samford, those teams, they play really good fundamental basketball, and they're just always, it just seems like they're always in position, and it seems like they're always in the NCAA tournament. So it's a team that has that kind of experience. They got a new coach this year. I don't know what to expect, but I think the players are really excited about that game, especially players like DeBrescia, Poe, and Jerkella Jordan, because they lost this game last year at Chattanooga. And, if the thing about last year was they had no Jessica Carter. I think Aaron Barnum was out of the ball game too. Both their post players were hurt. So State didn't really have the size. It really got evened out a little bit. I think this time around it's going to be a little better for Mississippi State because they got a Medina Okot down there, and they got a Near Montague and Kayla Thomas too. So they have depth. They can go three deep at the center position this year. So that's definitely a plus.
I was at lunch today, and I ran into Terry Roberts. You know him?
Yeah.
He invited me to come speak to one of these women's events, and I was just like, I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to need an earpiece in there, and you just talk me through everything.
Yeah.
Because I don't know it as well as you do. So.
Well, I don't know that much either. I usually go to those things.
Yeah,
too.
He started talking. It was so funny. It was the classic, I just put a bite of food in my mouth, and he goes, Brian, I'm like,
I look in that room sometimes when I'm in there, and I see a lot of the same people that tell me I'm too negative and they're not going to read my articles anymore. And I go in there and I'm like, Terry, you might not should have brought me in here. This isn't the this isn't the group that normally agrees with me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because it is a little older group, the group that's always like, you're negative.
I should fit in just fine. I'm an old man.
Yeah, but you're negative and old. So
what? Who said I was negative?
I don't think I have to say it.
Oh, goodness gracious. On the men's side of things, if you ask me, and Robbie, you've been to two of the three games. So obviously, because I've been to more games, I have a more experience and more expertise than you.
Yes.
I feel like I try to describe it whatever the landing zone between meeting expectations and exceeding expectations is, that's where I am with this team. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been a little better than I thought they would be, but I don't think they've reached their ceiling, as you were saying about the women. I don't think they're anywhere near that. The closest they came was against Georgia State. They dominated that game from start to finish. They had lulls in the games against West Georgia and the game last night, as we're recording, the game last night against Southeastern Louisiana. They haven't trailed this season, I don't think. I think they got up in every game. Strangely enough, they're 0-3 on the tip. I don't know why that is. I'm going to track that the rest of the year just because I think it's an odd stat. But
the tip-off.
Tip-off, yes.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows what I meant.
Yeah. Well, I thought everybody knew what I meant yesterday, but okay. You had something to say.
I'll make the jokes around here, okay?
No. Don't put me in the same group as some Cross. Of the people that you talk to on your show.
Yeah.
Don't put me in that same group. I make jokes.
I make the East jokes around here, okay?
You can make those.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what you just try to do.
Well, I didn't make a joke about that.
The other side, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right.
They've really struggled to get the tip off.
Yes. My two concerns is not the right word, all right? Because I think they're playing well, and I know that I see the talent level. Obviously, rebounding is just going to be a thing this year, right? Mm-hmm. They just don't have that physicality down low that they had in years past. And then my other thing is I want to find out, last year, Hubbard and Tolu you could kind of count on, right? Those were 1-2. Maybe one night Tolu would have a little bit more. Another night Hubbard would have a little bit more. But every night, those two guys were going to combine from anywhere from 30 to 40 points, right? So who is the other guy this year with Hubbard? You know, I feel like you got a lot of options. Could be Clary, could be Kugel, could be Harris. You know, and you're going to have some nights where those guys jump up and into that. But I want to know, going into every game, who are my guys that I know I can rely on for points in this game? Hubbard is one. I need to know who that other guy's going to be. I think it's going to be Kugel, but
I don't think it has to be. I think it can be, you know, whoever shows up tonight.
I would like to have two guys I know are going to show up, and then the other guys just show up, because that's how you win.
Well, I mean, well, here's the thing. Like, you know, we've talked about that in the past. At one point, it was Iverson, Molinar, and DJ Stewart had to do it every night, and then you know, mm-hmm. like. We were searching for who's going to be the third guy.
Right.
And then it was – who was it year before last? Oh, we were just like, it was Tolu and then who else?
It was,
somebody's got to
– That, you know, Jansen's first year, it was really just Tolu.
Yeah.
You know.
And they're like, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to do this unless Shaq Moore has a big game or Rams. And then last year it was, you knew Josh was going to be pretty good most nights and Tolu. Could you find a third person? This year, I think it's kind of shifted for me. I'm not really concerned about guard play or guys scoring points. I think you have so many pieces at this point, it's going to be very difficult for there to be a off night for everyone. That's going to be tough. For me, the big question is, can they get post-production?
Yeah.
I don't think that they can go into some of these games, especially in SEC play, and have 5 points from Keyshawn Murphy,
yes.
4 points from Michael Nwoku.
Yeah.
I don't think they can do that. I think agree. It's got to be one of those two guys have got to be
and it doesn't
12, 14 points and 8 or 9 rebounds.
I don't even know if it's that for points. I think you can get like 8 points.
Just rebounding?
Yeah, but you got to get 8 or 9 rebounds out of them.
Rebounding is very concerning.
Yeah.
It's very concerning.
It absolutely is. Your team is built in a way right now that you've got to make shots. And that sounds counterintuitive, I know, but if they miss, that the second chance points aren't going to be there as much as they have been in years past for this team.
Was it just bad luck for them with the post in the transfer portal? I can't figure out why they weren't able to land a big time post player.
I
You
don't
know,
know. I don't know the answer to that. I mean,
and, Mario Williams was bad luck. That's Kentucky just said, come on.
yeah,
And then, Van
Lubin,
Lubin,
yeah.
that was another guy we all felt like State was tied to him when he entered the portal. And it just kept on and on. Like, it just kept
He ended up in
kicking the
North
can
Carolina,
down the.
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
So it's
I
two
can't
blue
really, right,
bloods.
I can't really fault these guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah.
I think it's kind of bad luck.
Yeah.
And then, I mean,
I
there
believe
really
that
wasn't
they
there.
were a bit the better NIL offer for both of them.
Yes. There really weren't many guys that look like at center
Yeah.
that I said, that changes everything for Mississippi State.
Right.
It was kind of like those two.
Yeah.
And then, who knows? So you did go out there and get
Should
centers,
have had
but
Jimmy Bell sue the NCAA for another year of
yeah,
another year of
Diego
eligibility.
Pavia.
Yeah.
Jimmy Bell is just like sitting on the front row every game
Yeah.
going.
I mean, like, he ain't doing nothing.
Which,
So.
by the way, why didn't he just stay with football?
At this point, he'd probably be playing.
That didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, he entered the portal, but then he didn't go anywhere. Like, he should have just stayed.
Yeah. Maybe he just didn't want to practice.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
could
Like,
see
you're not
that.
going to play. If you're not going to play, why get beat up?
That's true.
So.
But yeah,
Two.
I got to me that the it's all about the post play.
Yeah, I
Like,
agree.
we have seen so, by the way, Josh Hubbard looks like he's on a different level this year, and which is crazy to imagine, but he is just so locked in. Like,
He's gotten a little bit more aggressive in terms of going to the basket, finding his shot there, but he's shooting the ball well from deep as well. And there's more space for him because Harris is out there, Cleary is out there, Melendez can spread the floor a good
he's a
bit.
more dangerous player.
Yeah. So
If I see him coming off a screen,
he's shooting.
I assume
I said
it's
it's going
Thiel.
in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. If I see him starting to curl, is it hit the mic
Yeah.
there? Yeah.
I don't
It's
know if
going
I've
in.
ever had more faith in like two players, like State women or men, and when they hit that wing and they catch the ball and they have space than him and DeBrichapo. DeBrichapo, the release, first of all, is quick trigger. I
Yeah.
mean, when she gets it, I feel like it's going in. And last year, I mean, she shot 40%, almost 40% from three.
Yeah.
Like, she is a very underrated player as
I'm trying
far
to
as
think.
history at Mississippi State.
I always thought when Timmy Bauer shot the ball, it was going to go
Timmy
in.
B, Winston Frazier,
Frazier
I
would be
felt
up
like
one.
it. I need to go look back at
Barry
their
Stewart
numbers.
did not. I didn't have that same confidence in him. Daryl Wilson, now a
Of
little before your
course.
time, but yeah. And then for the women, the first thing that popped in my head, talking about coming off of a screen, Blair Shaver.
Yeah.
It was going in most of the time. But I haven't seen enough of DeBrisha to tell
I
you.
mean, it is it's almost
It's automatic, yeah.
50% like every game.
That's good numbers. That's good numbers. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by the good folks over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. I remembered something. I remembered something. We have a camera now. So here it is.
I would just show it to him.
It's the flyer. It's the famous flyer
You've been
of
talking about this
Pip Printing and
flyer.
Signs. Look at the list here, guys, of everything that they can do for your business. That is a long list. It's too long for me to read off. So go to their website, pipridgeland.com, to learn more about all of the incredible stuff they can put together for your business to get people in the door, keep people coming in. Call Cam Baker once you've seen it, 601-499-5216, and tell him, hey, heard about you on Thunder and Lightning, went to the website, I'm interested in this, and he will take it from there. Again, as I've said this many times, that's his phone number. We're not giving you the office number. We're not giving you a switchboard. We're not giving you a 1-800 number. We're giving you the owner of the company's number, and he'll take care of it personally. That's the level of service you're getting when you deal with Pip Printing and Signs. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. You certainly are going to be looking for it. When you are looking for a great meal in Starkville, you can't go wrong at Two Brothers Smoke Meats or at the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. That's right. When you want to take a sandwich you want to put a sandwich inside a Lamborghini, that's what we're talking about here. The Lamborghini of sandwiches.
Yes. Do you have any Grey Poupon for your sandwich?
They need to offer great. They need to have great Poupon on the
You did
table.
that. Is it still around?
Oh, you can still buy it at the store.
That was a
Oh,
huge thing, like in the
massive.
80s and
Oh, yeah.
90s.
You couldn't watch TV without those commercials.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have any
With
Grey
the guy in the limo,
Poupon?
yeah.
Yeah, like that. That's what the older brother needs is like
Some
at
grape
least have
pecan
it.
on the table.
Can we at least have like a sign, like a grape pecan sign?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You need that. We need Right Guard spray because anything less would be uncivilized. That's fancy. That's
That
fancy.
is.
What about some? And do you remember the commercials for Pollander's fruit spray, all fruit? Do you remember that? Where it was like, please pass the Pollander's all fruit. And like, there's this one guy who's obviously a hillbilly. So like, the whole table goes like, please pass the Pollander's all fruit. And you get the last guy's like, can you please pass the jelly? And everybody passes out. They're so mad at it. Need some of that.
It's kind of like the salsa, the New York City, the was that
Yeah, that
picante
was Pace. Pace.
pace?
Pace picante sauce. Get a rope. I love it. These are great commercials.
New
They're not as good
York
as
City.
the ones we do here on Thunder and Lightning, but they're pretty good.
Classic.
Yeah. Two Brothers Smoke Meats, the older brother. Great places to eat.
Yes.
Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
I thought about something today, so just a heads up. Robbie's not on Friday's podcast, which is already pre-recorded, because it's just the two interviews I did with Coach Ricketts and Coach Lamont. Don't. I see you. I see your face. Don't.
What?
But I thought about something.
What did you do?
I did the. It's a little weird, right? I did that
Oh.
so I need a 50.
Oh, we got to do a 50.
I need a 50.
I'm gonna have to record a
We'll
50.
record a 50. So because I didn't have it, and I was like, I need a 50. So we'll get that
Gotta
done
have a
later.
50.
If you need business technology, if you need business electronics, not appliances, electronics, if you need that, you call Advantage Business Systems. They'll get them
Big difference.
huge. And then if you need service, it's just a phone call away. It's the same number that you call to make the sale to. It's the people that you know, it's people who you've been doing business with. They're going to get that problem solved a lot quicker than any big brand can do with their 1-800 numbers and their out-of-state technicians because they're in Mississippi just like you. A lot of times they can make and solve your problem the same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games, this fall, this winter, this spring, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. MaroonandCo.com is the website. You can always shop there. The holidays are coming up. They've got the stuff you're looking for, stuff you cannot get anywhere else. If you look around Starkville, everybody else has got the same polos and t-shirts and hats on the rack, not Maroon & Co. They got great stuff that you can't find anywhere else, including the Bulldog Initiative gear. Nobody else is selling that. They're the exclusive provider. Our promo code is Thunder15, 15% off any regular price item. Some exclusions will apply. Before you go to the games, Davis Wade, The Hump, Diddy Noble, you need to go to Maroon & Co. All right, earlier today, let's talk some MSU soccer.
Delusia, by the way, 50% first three games shooting.
What percent?
50.
Okay.
Nine of 18.
Nine times.
Nine times.
Earlier today, yeah, Mississippi State soccer. Start the NCAA tournament this weekend, 5 o'clock kickoff against Southern on Saturday, the 16th. Wanted to go a little more in depth and get a little more information. So caught up earlier today with Marion Crowder. She covers soccer for ESPN. She's a former Georgia Bulldog and a Mississippi girl as well from Madison Central High School. So
Stand up, Jags.
there you go. Wanted to talk to her earlier today about this team, about Coach Armstrong, and about what's made this team so good this year. Let's go down to my interview with ESPN soccer analyst Marion Crowder. Mississippi State making history this weekend with their inclusion in the NCAA tournament, hosting the number one seed in their region. I like soccer, but I don't know enough about it, so I had to bring in an expert. Marion Crowder covers soccer for ESPN, former SEC player at Georgia. And Marion, let's just start off with this. You know, this team, I knew last year they were good. They went to the NCAA tournament. They make a good run in there. I didn't have any idea that coming into this season, this was going to be a team that was going to be a top two team in the country, a number one overall seed. From a national perspective, which you have, how surprising is Mississippi State's success this season?
That's a good question. I actually felt like within the conference, Mississippi State was that team that was really on the rumble last year, and they just got, I mean, Brian, they just got ridden with injuries at the exact wrong time. They were peaking, and then just so many key players, one after the other. And it was tough, I mean, for them to even have enough people to really field a chance at the SEC championships last year. And so this year, you knew all the conference coaches knew kind of in the back of their mind that this is a team that's going to be problematic because they're going to have all those players players, not only with a year more experience under their belt, but obviously with some time to get healthy. And everything for Mississippi State has fallen into place. And so I think from a national conversation, people are surprised because let's be honest, I'm a Mississippi native. We are not known for our soccer prowess, okay? I've been on the national stage, been to national team camps. One of the first questions I get asked when everybody's going through the room, hey, where are you from? Tell us something about yourself. Hey, I'm Marian Crowder. I'm from Mississippi. Right? I mean, just heads immediately turn because it's just not something that people think of. And so on the national stage, this wasn't even on people's radar. And so for James, you know, I have the pleasure of talking to him and his coaching staff, and they are just wonderful. And so he and I had this very candid conversation as, you know, hey, you're creating this really cool buzz in your own state. And it's not just in Starkville, right? It's in the youth clubs, it's in the private schools, it's in the high school kids coming to the games. And he said, yeah, you know, but I'm ready for us to be recognized on the national stage. I'm ready for us to have the fair shot for everyone. So it's kind of a double answer to your question. In the conference, people knew that if they stayed healthy, they were going to be problematic. On the national stage, I think that people saw how close they played Wake Forest, and then we're really the icing on the cake was beating Arkansas at home. And then from there, I think people still are like, what is this Mississippi State team all about? Well, they're going to get a chance to find out, hopefully, for a while at the NCAAs.
So I've asked Coach Armstrong this question a couple of times, and he's just too humble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh, I know.
he gives every bit of credit to his assistants and to his players. Tactically, what does Mississippi State do that makes them so tough to score on?
Really interesting question. And I'm going to answer it first by saying James Armstrong does not give himself near enough
None.
credit. I feel like I am on like a path. Every time he like interviews with someone, I'm coming behind and being like, yeah, look, his staff is great. Don't get me wrong. But he has one of the most brilliant tactical minds in the game. Okay. So let's just get that out of the way. He's fabulous. What makes them so difficult is a couple things. They play typically a 3-6-1. Now they do have a key injury in the midfield that is gonna be interesting to see how they adjust, but they typically play this 3-6-1, and they play so that means a three back with six players in the midfield and one player as the lone striker. The way that they play their six midfielders is typically in a box formation. So they have, you know, two attacking midfielders, two holding midfielders, and then they also get the width. And so with that, they are setting themselves up for success on both sides of the ball. They have players who are just intuitively able to open up spaces on opposition back lines, and that a lot of that comes from their two attacking midfielders and Ali Perry and Aitana Martinez Montoya. But then they also have, if teams want to clog centrally, they also have ability to go out wide to their playmakers in the 1v1 channels in the wider parts of the field. Now, what that does for them on the defensive side of the ball is it clogs space centrally. So it avoids transitional moments, right? It allows, even with a three back, it allows for protection for those three to keep their shape in the middle part of the field because they kind of have this balance on the width. So their shape is a little bit interesting. Their shape is a little bit tough to play against. But one thing about this Mississippi State group that's different from all the other groups in the conference is they have this ability to not only grind out wins, right? They can be gritty, they can be dirty, they don't mind the blue collar work ethic, but they can also break you down in a really sophisticated way, which I think is ultimately going to help them for a deeper run in the NCAA tournament.
And you say gritty and dirty and blue collar. I think you just described Macy Hodge.
Oh God, yeah. Oh
I
my
mean,
gosh,
that
she is.
she's one of those players that like other players want to play with because you know that
Definitely
no
don't want to play
matter,
against her.
right, you don't want to play against her, but you love her if she's on your team because she's just willing to do every little bit of the dirty work. Is she a unique player in college soccer this year?
I think it says she was the resounding. So I just got back from the SEC tournament. We did SEC and we did the ACC, and obviously coaches in all kinds of conferences talk. And Brian Pinsky, the reigning national head coach of the year for the Florida State Seminoles, they just won the ACC championship. We were talking about this because Brian Pinsky used to coach at Tennessee. And so we have been kind of asking him the differences in the conference, tournament formats, what he's seeing now as like a third party observer. And he just could not give enough credit to James Armstrong and to Macy Hodge in particular, because even a coach of his level, his caliber, feels like if they don't have Macy Hodge, they can't do a lot of what they want to do with this interesting formation that they play. What she is able to do and controlling the tempo, controlling the rhythm, and just being, I mean, let's be honest, being that player that's just going to make you plays. As complicated as we can make this game of soccer, it also comes down to people just being willing to get into the tackle and win it for your team. And that's what she can bring. What we've seen that's different from Macy this year is her ability on the ball is really starting to shine as well. She's got this vision where she can pick her head up and she can ping a 40-yard pass into a really dangerous runner, and they can score goals from that. Previously, I feel like we really only saw her defensive hard work, but we're really seeing her shine on both sides of the ball this year.
Is Maddie Anderson the best keeper in college soccer this year?
Ooh, college soccer, look, that's tough, man. That's a really tough question. You kind of put me on the spot. Maddie, I mean, let's be honest, Maddie hasn't been tested all that much. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. When you look at the conference stats, you know, we were going through how coaches are voting for the best goalkeeper in the SEC. And when we were going through that, it's like, okay, you kind of have two options. You're going to vote for the team, right, who has just been incredibly dominant on the defensive side of the ball. And because of that, because of the confidence that Maddie Anderson gives you as a back line, she deserves the credit for being SEC Goalkeeper of the Year. Or are you going to go with someone like a Jordan Brown from Georgia, or even like a Shu Oba from Ole Miss, who are facing the most saves of anyone in the conference? And if they don't make five big saves a game, there's no way that their team's going to be even in the conversation, right? So that was kind of what the coaches were deciding between. And I think they made ultimately the right decision, because as much credit as you want to give the defensive group, yes, she's got incredible center backs in front of her, but they are able to play the way that they can because she provides that confidence, that level of confidence. So look, even if we get beat, we still have her as our last line of defense. There are some really, really good goalkeepers across the country, but Maddie Anderson has trained with our colleague as well, Jill Loydon, who's on several of these SEC calls. And Jill is one of the most intelligent goalkeeper coaches that I've ever had. I've had the ability to be a part of. And they would say that the only difference between Maddie and some of the other keepers in the country is her ability to distribute. We don't often see Maddie have to play with her feet. And there are goalkeepers like Texas's Mia Justice, who are actually charged with building out of the back and starting the attack from their 18-yard box. And so I would say that it doesn't make one better than the other. It just makes them a little bit different. But she's going to be in that national conversation, no doubt.
All right, talk me through the Starkville Regional. Utah State, Washington Southern coming to Starkville. Utah State, from what I've heard of them, they're kind of a similar team to Mississippi State in that they are a gritty team. They can grind you out a little bit. You know, I think State obviously will be the favorite to progress out of this because they're the one seed. But if there was going to be an upset, is Utah State the team the State needs to watch out for?
Yeah, look, man, I'll tell you from experience, the first two rounds are everyone's like, oh, well, you're gonna rest all your players. That's an easy win. They're not. They're not, because let's be, what is Utah? What do they have to lose? Nothing. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And especially, we're talking about Mississippi State being on a different scale nationally than we've ever seen them before. You truly have a national target on your back. You're gonna get everyone's best performance. And so that being said, these are really the matchups that you mentally as a player, you've got to lock in on, because people are just coming in to try and upset the status quo. That's all they're trying to do. And I mean, we've seen Memphis play spoiler a good bit to people. And James and I actually had a really interesting conversation about this. The play-by-play was making the argument that I just did. Well, you know, you'll have a week to rest players, and then hopefully, you know, it's just a cakewalk for you guys because you'll be number one seed. And he looks and he goes, well, the past 2 years, we've barely gotten out of the first round, because it's just a battle of attrition sometimes with those groups. But again, this is a different Mississippi State team. I think their will to fight and their ability to battle for 90 minutes is different than we've seen in the past. I still think that they're going to be all right. But yeah, you're completely right. It's going to be interesting the first couple rounds.
It's interesting to hear you say people talk about resting starters in a game like this where you just make one mistake in the box and there's a penalty kick and all of a sudden it's 1-0. And then, I mean, 1-0's tough. It's tough to come back from sometimes. So,
Because think about it too. If I'm going on the road as an underdog and I make that one moment, right? So right now their coach is preaching, guys, we need one moment. And in that one moment, I need you to be on your P's and Q's and make the most of that one moment. Because after that one moment, guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna play 11 on the back line.
we're gonna park
And
the
best of
bus.
luck to you. So I mean, it's you don't, these are the moments where as a head coach, and I know that this is going to be the message from James and company, and even from they've got so many seniors that have been here before. The message is going to be, hey, let's put it away in the first 20 minutes. Make no mistake about it. If you want rest, the job has to be done in the first 20, 25 minutes. We need to be up by three at a minimum, and then we'll talk about it. But you need to come out thinking that this is the SEC championship.
What does this team lack? If I said State doesn't win the national title, why is that the case? What do they lack? What do they need to do in this tournament to get all the way through?
I love that question. And it all comes down to their holding mids. So we talk a lot about their formation. Why does their formation work? It's actually the balance. I think their formation works because two things. They have the intuition of the attacking midfielders, so Ali Perry and Aitana Martinez Montoya. They are the players that really understand how to make opposition back line make a decision. Okay, they put them in really confusing situations where do I step? Do I drop? I don't know. That's their job. But the real reason that that works in front of them is because of the two holding midfield players. It used to be Alana Izquierdo. Alana was that key player that we mentioned did not play at all in the SEC tournament. I have not heard if this is going to be a season-ending injury or if they were just, hey, we know we're in, we're going to rest her. If she is not in the game, if she is not in this NCAA tournament run, that is a weakness. I cannot understate the value of what she brings to this team. Not only does she do that on an individual level, but it's the duality of her and Macy that really make this team click. Macy, it can be that smasher, right? She can go in, she can win you tackle, she can set the tone. She can be a ball distributor, but ultimately that's not her first responsibility. For Alana, though, Alana's first responsibility is setting the attack forward, setting it all in motion. She is a national team star. She is going to have an incredible global career. And she is one of the most intelligent players I have ever seen play the college game. I kid you not. I know this sounds so dramatic, but I kid you not. Every single time I have called Mississippi State this year, she's the best player on the field. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So if they don't have her, I question how efficient that can be. And I think that you're going to have to see some different players step up. But right now, Alana is the player that makes the moments happen. Yeah, would they have the other exclamation points, right? They have the Ali Perrys who can put the exclamation point on the moment, but who's going to make the moment happen if she's not in the game? That would be what I look back and say, if only she was healthy.
So, let me ask you this, and this will be, we'll wrap up with this. If things go right for Mississippi State, if they get the things talking that you're talking about to happen,
Yeah.
can they be the last team standing? Can this team win a national
Yes.
championship?
Yes. Yes. All right. So I called, and just to put this in perspective, I called, went from the SEC tournament to the ACC tournament. Called ACC tournament's a little bit different. So they only
We
have,
got
once
two
we get
one seeds
there,
and two seeds out of the ACC,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. So once we got there, we called the only team that gave Mississippi State a loss this year, Wake Forest. Okay. Wake Forest was put out by the Florida State Seminoles. Okay. That game had to go to penalties. Ultimately, I have yet to see a team give Florida State as many problems as Wake Forest did. And I actually think if you go back and you watch the film on the Wake Forest Mississippi State game, Mississippi State, it truly was one of their worst performances. There were moments, but that was not the Mississippi State team that you're seeing now. Okay. So I say all that to say, when we called the championship, which was Florida State and UNC, it never really felt like it was a game between anybody but Florida State and themselves. I'm trying to put the pieces together that's really the standard When Florida State is at their best, they are the standard. Okay, you can beat everybody else, but can you beat Florida State?
Right.
And I do think that Mississippi State has the physicality to go toe to toe with them. And that one would actually be more of a tactical coaching matchup, I think, between James and between Brian and his staff, as opposed to the players on the field who can maximize their strengths. But I think Mississippi State, with all the healthy pieces, really could make this one special.
It's kind of funny that two of the worst college football teams in the country are two of the best college football teams in the
You got to
country.
give them something to be excited about, though,
There you go. Marion, really appreciate it. Really good stuff, too. Thank you for answering the tactical question because James just refused. Oh, my staff's so great, and like I can't get anything out of him. So really appreciate your time. Marion Crowder, look forward to
Always.
your call on the NCAA tournament.
Always, always. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much to Marion. Really appreciated her time. I thought that was a really good interview. That's easily the most soccer talk we've ever had on the show. I was loving it. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, soccer has not really overtaken the show, but it's.
He's almost we're getting him. I'm telling you, like 2 more weeks, you're gonna be like,
I'm a
so.
Mississippi State soccer
No, no,
follower.
we're like 2 more weeks, and you're gonna be like, so tell me about Erling Haaland. Who is this guy? And
I'm gonna have a British accent in like a year.
I broke out the British accent when in the interview there.
As you should.
Yeah, we were talking about James, Coach Armstrong, and I was like, oh, it's not me that gets you any credit. And so that's not what he sounds like. I'm just saying. Didn't sound anything like that.
Oh, that, I'm trying to think who that sounded like. That sounded like the guy, the manager of Steel Dragon on
What a pull. What a pull.
Rockstar.
I had to take a pee, That's a great one. What was that guy's name? Was it Nigel? That's a
Nigel,
good Nigel
I think
name,
it was.
My favorite line in that movie is when the guy the guy from The Wire. What was his name in the movie? He was the guitar, not Zach Wilde, the other guy, the one who was actually an actor.
The guy that
The
was like
rhythm
the
guitar
leader
player.
of the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't
I can't
remember.
remember his name. But like the little kid picks up the phone and goes, "My favorite color's rainbow." And he just goes, "Really? Mine's mauve." That cracks me up every time. I don't know why.
Me and my friends, we had the soundtrack, and
Oh.
I memorized every song
Dude,
that they
Steel
sang.
Dragon would have been a staple in Brian Haight
I
ads.
still they don't have the They don't have it on Spotify. Like there is a Steel Dragon like that where they perform it, but they don't
Yeah.
have the original like the motion picture
Oh.
songs on there.
They don't.
No. It's like it the like the band that I think wrote the songs or recorded
Yeah,
them or
it's
whatever,
Steelheart.
Steelheart. Yeah, they have that, but it's not the same.
It's not.
It
No.
doesn't sound the same.
No.
Miles Kennedy made his debut
Yeah,
in that.
he's the guy that Mark Wahlberg brings on
That's
stage.
right. Great movie.
I
Such a
love
good
that
movie.
movie. I'm in a band. Yeah, it's a great movie. He's the copy repair man.
Yes. Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark.
There you go. All right. I enjoyed our conversation about Rockstar. Appreciate
Well,
that.
so every you never know what you're going to get on here.
No, you don't. And that's kind of what makes us great. So, all right.
Hello. Hello, lovely.
Do you ever do that in choir practice? Hallelujah!
Oh yeah, I
You ever
forgot
do
about that.
that?
No, but sometimes when I'm driving down the road, I sing "We All Die Young."
Not young enough to avoid this football season, though. So, all right. Speaking of that, back on that topic, very, very soon, but not tomorrow. Tomorrow is our bye week blitz. They're off, so let's talk about what's going to happen this spring at Mississippi State. Coach Samantha Ricketts, Coach Chris Lemonis will join me on the show, and we'll talk some softball and some baseball on tomorrow's podcast. Check that out on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, supertalk.fm, or of course, here on YouTube, where you can see all the great stuff that me and Robbie are doing every day. All right, talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Supertalk, Mississippi.
Bye, y'all.
I'm still recording. This guy.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.